I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
They said it coming up in 15 minutes or so at 7:20, and we will definitely discuss what Kendrick Perkins said. Perk pulled a Wiggy when it comes to tonight's Celtics game and the importance of it, and we will get to that and the rest of They Said It coming up. There is some breaking news this morning, Curtis, or Shime. I don't know who has it.
The Steelers have traded George Pickens to the Dallas Cowboys. So the big receiver on the market, which was George Pickens, headed to the Dallas
Cowboys. For what?
It's expected to be centered around a third-round pick.
You got to be kidding. I was pushing the George Pickens train for so long for the Patriots to do that. Give up a third-round pick to get a guy like that? Man.
Wait, so a team gave up basically the same pick to get George Pickens as the Steelers gave up to get DK Metcalf?
Was DK for a third round? I thought DK was a second.
Maybe it was a second. Maybe I'm wrong. But even still, like, that's insane.
What about
DK is so much better than George Pickens.
Yeah, but
Pickens.
George Pickens is for...
He's good. No. Don't get me wrong. He's really right. Good. But,
how
like,
old
that's
is he?
Crazy.
25?
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah,
he's
young.
He's super young.
They must be fully confident in the recovery of Steph Diggs.
Yeah, but basically Elliot Wolf could say he traded Matthew Judon for George Pickens.
Yeah, and I would be like, round of applause. Mm-hmm. Like, I know he has like a little bit of a, you know, like kind of baggage, like not necessarily off the field, but just like, you know, him and Tomlin didn't see eye to eye. But if you ever watch the kid play, and I remember him down in Georgia because that's where he went, he's super athletic. He can get those high balls. He's a great athlete. He's got really good speed. I don't know why you wouldn't want to take a flyer on.
You don't consider him to be a problem guy. More of like an annoyance.
Like, I want the ball. More of one of those guys. You know what I mean? Like,
what receiver isn't?
Yeah, exactly. So, and he's like 25 years old, maybe? A third round pick? Mm. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, Curtis.
Oh, that one hurt.
Shime, are you undergoing identity theft as we speak?
Yeah, I just got charged 3 times on my credit card and had to shut that down real quick.
Where were the charges done?
Two at a Sephora in Oregon at 6:55 in the morning, and one at a Walmart in Arkansas.
Mm. Mm.
I don't mean to be a stickler. I think Walmart's based in Arkansas.
Is that why? Yeah.
And Sephora may be based in Oregon.
That tracks. Right. So
did you
they
check
were
with
internet
Lauren?
Purchases. Lauren is still sleeping because I texted her and she has not responded.
That's what you think.
I hate the scammers.
She also doesn't have that credit card. So.
The scammers are out there. I hate them. Be careful, man.
Well, you got to stop buying that hentai porn online. People are.
Greg, I would never use a credit card for that. If I'm going to do it, it's untraceable.
They're mirroring your card when you're buying that stuff. You can get it for free.
Yeah.
Never in a million years. EEI Morning Show would accuse the producer of buying hentai porn, but here we are.
But sometimes you might want to subscribe and get, like, you know, more, you know, you might want to see the full-length video.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But do it at the capital ones like Pornhub or something that you know is like really popular.
What if you could get like hentai OnlyFans where like you're engaging with somebody in a text message, but it's not a person.
I'm sure you can.
Or Wiggy, you use a go-between to pay for it, like PayPal or something, so that it's not directly, you're not putting your card in to the website.
Right.
Furryfun.com.
Shine was planning a drink for the wedding, but Lauren ixnayed it. It was the my hentai.
But, nope.
Yeah, okay, make this happen.
All
right, we have leads left. Good morning, Courtney.
Good morning, everybody. My lead is for
that
one.
That was a great Mai Tai joke. I don't care if it didn't get that. That was
thank
excellent.
You, Curtis.
Excellent.
Thank you.
My lead is for one Greg Hill. We all know that Greg has a move coming up, but it's within the building.
Yeah.
Staying in the beautiful Seaport where, you know, you're in a gorgeous building. There is something coming right outside of your window. New place called Ballers. I don't know if you've heard about it yet.
No.
Three paddle courts and five pickleball courts.
Oh, no.
The paddle courts year-round open.
Oh,
the
boy.
Pickleball courts, the five of them, will in the winter be turned into an ice skating rink.
Huh.
This is expected to open in July, right outside your window. There will be a bar and a cafe attached to it.
Wow.
It will be open for people to have lessons with some professionals, as well as open play.
Wow.
Okay. If you're watching on Twitch or YouTube, Mitch has the photo of what this is supposed to look like. And it is close to your building.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting after everything we've heard about those who complain about having pickleball nearby.
Yeah. I will hear the constant pop, pop, pop.
Yeah.
It's a piercing sound. It's pop, 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 pop.
I am surprisingly good when it comes to pickleball.
Oh.
I think it's probably because I spent some time working at the Weston Racquet Club on the tennis side of things when I was in my early 20s. And so... I picked the game up right away.
Well, you'll have plenty of opportunity. Now, this thing is massive.
Huge.
Greg, I cannot lie because it's too good to be something I would create. But as a kid in Dover, we had tennis lessons. And my tennis coach was Dick Waterfall.
That's a cool name.
Sure is. He came in every day with like a new hot rod.
But you know, like where that
You know he was smashing every single wife that was a part of the tennis club.
Yeah, he was a legend, that man.
Yes,
you know what that location, it's glass all around. The noises are going to be echoing off of every surface.
I don't care about that.
Talk to me in three months.
Hate people.
Yes.
I hate
people. I wear headphones sometimes when I'm outside. I can't sit on the deck. I haven't sat on the deck in 2 years.
You move to the city, you know the city is going to be noisy.
I agree.
These people, not anybody specific, but they're complaining. There's a Rocco's Sports Bar, which is opening in our courtyard.
Cannot wait.
It's a concept from New York. It's an unbelievable sports bar.
Yeah.
And these people are constantly having meetings and complaining about it. And there's people outside. There's people at 11 p.m. who are having a good time and making noise. Like
it's like ping, 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 ping.
Who gives an F?
Your pool days are over, though.
Gonna
you're going to hear this the entire time laying by the pool.
I don't care.
There are nine courts outside. This thing is going to, and if they got lights, this thing is going to be all night long.
I can't enjoy my house. I have to wear earplugs.
Six pickleball courts right next to each other.
Well, it's five, and then there's three paddle courts. And paddle, you play off of like a glass wall, so you're not even getting... All right.
I don't care.
The pickleball outfits by the Seaport crowd will be absolutely mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Just the most pretentious people doing the most pretentious things.
It's going to be their new form of exercise.
The Seaport district, which is almost all white, no African Americans there at all.
No, it's not. Marjorie.
Oh,
wow. No, it's
not. So that's what paddleball is like in that little glass?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yep.
That is true. I saw a black Lambo over the weekend.
All right. Well, great. Thank you. Good lead, Courtney. Wiggy, good morning.
Good morning. So we asked, I think Curtis might ask this question yesterday about the Celtics and why they do what they do as far as the three-point shot and everything like that. Why is that their offense? So I said, let me do a deep dive.
Oh, I love when you do a deep dive.
Yeah, I had to do deep dive into the shot percentages of the players on that team, two versus the threes. And it is pretty astronomical. Is that the word, right?
Yeah.
It is pretty astronomical to think. Now, this is the players. Jason Tatum, 49% of his shots are three-pointers.
Yep.
Derek White, 72% of his shots during the regular season were three-pointers. Peyton Pritch, 72%. Jaylen Brown, I give him credit, 32%. I love that look. 70% of your shots, two-pointers. The other 30%, three-pointers. I don't care who you are. Al Horford, 68% of his shots are three-pointers. Kristaps Porzingis, 43%. And Drew Holiday, 53% of his shots are three-pointers. So when you look at this Celtics offense and the way the players are, you know, shooting the ball percentage-wise, twos versus threes, other than Jaylen Brown, everybody is like close to damn near 50% of their shots are coming in 3-point.
It's great when they're going in, but it's not so great like the other night when they're not falling for
it. And think about this, and let me just compare it to the team that they're playing right now. OG, how do you say his last name? Adebayo? Is 44.
No, that's Bam Adebayo.
Ananobi? Ananobi.
So OG Ananobi, 44% of his shots are 3-pointers. Jalen Brunson, only 33%. Josh Hart, 32%. Kyle Anthony Towns, 27%. And Mikal Bridges is at 39%. So when you look at the Celtics lineup, the reason why it is because the majority of the guys that are on the court are shooting damn near 50% of their shots from behind the three-point line.
Good lead, Wiggy.
Yeah, it's very interesting when you start to look at that.
Maybe the greatest coach currently in the NBA will adjust a little bit this evening.
Yeah, and
maybe.
I'd like to see Tatum adjust. Go closer to Jaylen Brown's number.
All right, Wiggy, thank you.
You got it.
Our back-to-back TV show-related leads okay on this show, Curtis?
Oh, great. Your name's on it, so.
I had one yesterday about paradise. This morning, scientists are concerned that rising global temperatures may increase the environment where the fungus, which is called Aspergillus, thrives. The fungus, which is called Aspergillus, will be able to thrive. That is a deadly fungus, which is resistant to any kind of existing treatment and causes a disease called aspergillosis. Anyone want to guess at which television program currently that we are watching focuses on said fungi?
Quick Slants?
No. I was White Lotus?
No.
The Last of Us.
Yes. So when you see the mushroom heads that are out of control, trying to bite you and eat you and kill you, whether you're in some kind of abandoned subway system or whether you're in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and you had a fence that you thought that you thought would keep them out. That is what we are facing when it comes to this fungi. They are talking about the potential for yet another, I hate saying the word, another worldwide pandemic if we don't do something to stop Aspergillus fungus.
All right,
so just a heads up on that.
I'll stop kissing your dogs and let them sleep in your bed, and we won't have mushroom head people running around.
That would be life imitating art again, or art imitating life, which is it? I don't know.
Think life imitating art, right?
Yeah, and you are disappointed with The Last of Us.
Yeah, I'm just like...
Even
watching the last...
It got good, though, when they went to Seattle.
Listen, I'm all for... Chime talked about it. Hey, I'm all for going to Pornhub seeing a little girl-on-girl action.
Oh,
I ain't got nothing against it.
Okay.
I ain't got nothing against it.
I don't know how we landed there.
I ain't got nothing against it.
Okay, so you're in on girl-on-girl action.
But it's a little weird when they look like teenagers.
What in the world?
And they're basing the show around it.
He's talking about a relationship in the show.
Yeah.
But they're not. They're supposed to be older.
But they look like they're like...
It's supposed to be a love story, though. It's not supposed to be a porno.
It's like
it's there for as a storyline. Right, it's not there for your sexual entertainment.
No. But I'm not there for the sexual entertainment.
Exactly.
I'm not even there for the love story.
Amen.
This is a show about mushroom head zombies or whatever they are, clickers, which what we learned from Chime.
Yeah.
I'm not there for the love story. Like, I don't know why they're inserting a love story. And then they're inserting a love story,
wrong word,
which is around two teenage girls. I wouldn't care if it was a teenage girl and a teenage boy.
Okay.
But why
this
are you
is getting worse.
Inserting it? What's getting worse about
just,
it? I'm just telling
just
you
let
what
him talk. Yeah. I like to just let him talk.
I'm telling you what I feel about the show. Yeah. I mean, you got to get all sensitive about it.
I'm not sensitive. I mean, I'm just explaining the other side.
There's no other side.
I'm just saying, because you said, you know, oh, I'm good for a little girl-on-girl action.
Yeah, on Pornhub, not on The Last of Us.
Right. Thank you.
But it's a love story, and unfortunately, you don't like the girl-girl love story.
No, I don't love the love story,
but you just said you wouldn't care if it was a girl and a guy.
On Pornhub. Oh, no, I said I would care. I would care.
Oh, you just said you misspoke then. You said I wouldn't care if it was a girl and a guy.
I wouldn't care if it's a girl and a guy, a girl and a girl, a guy and a guy.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't want a love story.
You don't want
people killing zombies.
You don't want a love story getting in the way of a good zombie television
program. Then it's like,
yeah, I understand.
And then the other thing, like I said, that makes it weird is because they're like teenagers. Mm-hmm. So that's
what if
like
this conversation was The Last of Us?
That's like
you would hate Euphoria.
Yeah, it's like a weird. Like when you watch shows and there's like, you know, different things, it's a weird dynamic when you start to look and you're like watching a show and you're like, wait a second, I feel like
am I
in the wrong for watching this?
Right.
Chime, here's the 978 flex text. Did you see it? It's following the video game story, Wiggy.
Is that the video game?
Yes, it is. You should know that.
Come on, Wiggy.
It's based on a video game.
Yes, it is. You see the source material.
Did you see the Grand Theft Auto 6 trailer yesterday?
Sure did.
Yeah, it looks good.
Not bad. Kind of excited.
Looks great.
Kind of excited.
Speaking of
sex, it's a year away, but.
Speaking of sex, as Wiggy always is, there's one part of that trailer where the main character guy is like, do you have sex in Grand Theft Auto 6?
I mean, you can.
Yeah. Is that the indication that you got from that?
Yeah, I mean, Greg, have you in the old ones?
You had sex.
No,
Grand Theft Auto 5. You could.
Yeah, you could.
Remember, you could have sex with like a stripper.
Yeah, remember, you could get the stripper, or the prostitute, and
at pole position, the strip joint.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
And they'd be out walking the streets.
Great name, by the way.
You could pick up the ladies of the evening.
And then the car would start to bounce.
Yeah, but that's not... This is like the... It's graphic in the trailer.
That was like a Sims. Do you ever play Sims? They have sex.
Yeah, it's very graphic.
You're not going to see like the unit.
But you see the guy lying there and moving his hand around?
Oh,
and
that's true.
It was rather graphic.
But it looks good, though. The game, like the visuals, might be graphic, but the visuals are like really, really good. And I never played The Last of Us, so I don't know if there was a love story in that. They should bypass it. Just keep with the killing and all that other cool
stuff.
Supposed
to be a good story.
Okay. Anyway, leads are done.
Oh.
Thankfully. Oof. We're going to get to They Said It next, but first, Courtney, and what is trending right this moment?
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England. The Red Sox had a tough home loss last night. 6-1 was the final. Lucas Giolito went 3 2/3, giving up 6 runs on 10 hits while striking out 2. They've got another one with the Rangers tonight. 6:45 first pitch with Tanner Houck taking the mound. Lenny DiNardo will join Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's Perfecting the Art of Fresh. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 5:45 for the MassMutual pregame show. The Celtics have game 2 tonight at the TD Garden. Tip is at 7 with the Knicks. Kristaps Porzingis is listed as probable, while Sam Hauser is doubtful. As for the other NBA playoff games last night, the Warriors go up a game on the Timberwolves after taking game 1 99-88. In the win, they did lose Steph Curry, who will undergo an MRI today on a strained left hamstring. He is not expected to play, at least in game 2. And the Pacers now up 2 games heading to Indiana after a 120-119 win in game 2. Important to note that the Cavs were without DeAndre Hunter, Evan Mobley, and Darius Garland. As for the NHL playoff games last night, the Oilers take game 1 against the Golden Knights, and the Hurricanes take it in overtime over the Capitals to go up 1 game in their series. In some NFL breaking news from Ian Rappaport, the Steelers are trading George Pickens to the Cowboys. And let love bloom in a new Subaru. SubaruofNewEngland.com. Explore up to 581 miles on a single tank in Subaru's most fuel-efficient Forester ever, the 2025 Subaru Forester Hybrid. Learn more at SubaruofNewEngland.com.
Curtis, would you like a little bit of information from none other than the great Jennifer Hill? Apparently, Jen Hill is listening to this radio show right now.
Yes.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yes, happy Mother's Day to the greatest mom in the history of moms. And she went to high school with Dick Waterfall.
No way.
Yes. Wow.
Yes.
That is
Framingham High. What a small world we live
in. Imagine that name in high school.
Framingham. I believe for her it was Framingham North at that point.
Wow. Right. And I don't know if I'd use small and Dick Waterfall in the same sentence, but yes. 56 degrees. That is so funny. I told you I wasn't lying. Cloudy skies, afternoon high of 70.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Now, first, the big news for the Dallas Cowboys. They have now finally gone all in. They are finalizing a deal. The Cowboys are, for George Pickens, the former now Steelers star receiver. Obviously, the Steelers acquired DK Metcalf earlier in this offseason. You wondered immediately, what would that mean for George Pickens? Is there essentially room in the receiver room for both of them? All parties said the right thing. Meanwhile, the Dallas Cowboys very quietly worked on this big-time deal, tried to get it done before the draft, was not able to come to completion. Then, over the last couple days, restarted the process of trying to acquire George Pickens. In the end, that is exactly what is going to happen, a deal that should be finalized today. In all, it is a third-round pick going to the Pittsburgh Steelers in exchange for George Pickens, also expected to be a late-round pick swap.
Big trade in the NFL earlier today. I almost said out of nowhere. I mean, I think this name has been on our radar. I was surprised to see it today specifically.
Yeah.
When I woke up, I wouldn't have been surprised earlier in the offseason. I wouldn't have been surprised at the draft. I kind of thought with the draft coming and going, George Pickens was going to remain with the Steelers. But this is a name I highlighted a lot in the offseason, especially after the Patriots lost out on DK Metcalf. But even prior to that, this is a guy I wanted and I thought was available, and it turns out he was. The Cowboys get him for a third-round pick and a pick swap. Do you think they should have been in, meaning the Patriots, Keith?
Yeah, I mean, I think all along it was definitely somebody that you looked at. You're like, the guy is kind of a maniac. Like, he is a hard guy.
He's a maniac.
And I'm very much take the talent and then kind of figure it out. But even with him, I was kind of hesitant about it. Deontay Johnson is like the one guy that I've completely crossed off my list, right? Yeah, that's one where I'm like, I just can't.
Even me?
Yeah, I can't.
That one was, I think I still would have done it, but that one I really
I was
get
a
that
no.
one.
I was a straight no on him, and usually I'm not. You know, going back to, you know, Antonio Brown's cup of coffee with the Patriots, I was all in favor of that. Didn't work out for all the number of reasons, right? Like, but I wanted all these guys. Josh Gordon, a guy I really, really wanted that also – yeah, you know, had its moments, but overall didn't really work out. I think at this point, knowing what the Patriots receiver room is and knowing what the cost was to get him, I would have tried it. I would have tried it. I would have brought him in. Also, the fact that Steph Diggs, no guarantee, is ready for week one. I think you have to factor that in too. And if it works, he could line up with Drake May and he could be his guy for a while. Now, I know there's a chance that it doesn't work, but what's the high end of Mac Hollins? What's the high end of Kendrick Bourne? What's the high end of Jalen Polk? The high end of George Pickens is all pro. Like, he could be that good of a receiver.
And if you trust Mike Vrabel, Josh McDaniels, and even to a lesser extent Drake May, maybe it could work. At least for a few years it could work.
So I obviously would have been in. I've been beating the drum for this offseason. Yeah. A third-round pick to me is the right kind of draft capital. Like, for instance, would I rather traded a third-round pick this year and gotten George Pickens at the draft? I mean, I know now you could trade a future. Or Kyle Williams, I would rather George Pickens. I know what he is.
Right.
Now, he is a maniac, and I've always characterized him that way and qualified it with that. That's why he's available. Yeah. If he was a good teammate who wasn't wild about his contract and just sat there and did his job, Pittsburgh wouldn't make him available.
Right.
So there's a reason he's available. You got to cut some corners, I think, to up your talent.
Elliott Wolf could have drafted him a couple of years ago but chose Tyquan Thornton.
Bill could have.
No, I know, Bill. But I'm just saying, like, well, Bill's gone. We can't blame Bill.
No, and Wolf was definitely a part of that. I don't completely let him off the hook because Wolf
wanted a fast guy. So they got a fast guy.
Wolf waited forever to cut him. So Pickens, prior to last year, had played every game. He's only 3 years in the NFL, but he went 17-17-14. Yep. I only point out the missed games to highlight that he had 900 yards last year.
Yeah.
You might look at that and go, oh, well, he wasn't a 1,000-yard guy.
He would have been.
He missed three games in there, so he would have been. And he's had just atrocious quarterback play in his career.
Ken Pickett. Like, it's not good, yeah.
I mean, Wilson and Fields a year ago, Mason Rudolph before. Like, he's had just atrocious quarterback play.
So he's had four quarterbacks throw him a touchdown.
Can we just get him? Pickett, Rudolph, Fields.
Not Fields. Fields wasn't
Fields
one of
didn't
them.
Throw him
so
one.
The other guy.
Wilson.
From last year, Russell Wilson.
Who's the other one?
Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh, nice.
So Trubisky, Pickett, Rudolph, Wilson.
I mean, that's atrocious quarterback
that
play.
That is bad stuff.
So I would do it. And I know people are like, text line, 617-779-7937. Oh, I'm sure Jones would trade for the most disgruntled Pickens and say it would work out. Well, yeah, I would. I've been saying it all offseason, so yes, I would.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not saying now that they didn't get him that I want him, or now that they didn't get him, oh, I never would have wanted him in the first place like a lot of Patriots fans are doing. And all I would say is be consistent on this. I've seen a lot of this today. The locker room couldn't handle George Pickens. If it's just about their personality, you have Steph Diggs on the team.
But I would also argue, too. Well, yeah, there's that, but
you
also
can say Diggs is a better player. He was pre-injury. You can say Diggs, it's only money. You didn't have to give up a draft pick. But if you're just talking about personalities and you care about the personality and the fit in the locker room, Diggs is on his fourth team for a reason, and he flamed out certainly the first two. And I think even last year, the Texans completely overhauled their receiver room. They could have brought him back. They didn't. If it's about personality and fit and character and all these things, you're employing Steph Diggs. So, like, let's not go too far with that.
No, but also, I think you're insulting Mike Vrabel. If you're like, oh, it won't work, you can't do it. It's like, well, why? Like, why can't it?
Vrabel should be able to handle that.
Yeah, I think he can.
That's part of the idea of having a Mike Vrabel.
If Jerod Mayo, for some reason, not to pile on Mayo all the time, but it's too hard not to, but if Kraft was stubborn and was like, Mayo's coming back this year, and then this same conversation came up, like, would you bring in George Pickens? He's like, why? So the whole thing could blow up? I'm not doing that.
That would be more fair.
But, like, you have real NFL coaches. Like, everyone's talking about how this staff has four previous NFL head coaches. They have like 1,000 years of experience. But this guy's kind of a knucklehead, so we can't bring him in.
Right.
It's like, no, this would be actually a place that maybe it could work.
He's a maniac, and he yells at his quarterbacks, and he wants the ball. Great. All those things for Steph Diggs. And Diggs is hurt and might not be ready week one. Diggs is his prime, better player. Not arguing that.
Oh, yeah.
He's not in his prime. This guy's 24. He's going to be 24 all year, I think. Right? He just turned 24 in March.
For a full year, he'll be 24.
Now, he needs a contract. No, I'm saying he doesn't turn.
No, he just turned.
He doesn't turn 25
March.
In a couple of months.
No,
the whole football season, rather, Keith. He's going to be playing at age
365 days. He's going to be 24 years old.
He needs a contract, so you got to pay him. And like I heard this logic before with DK Metcalf, I would bring in a player like this. But if you don't want to, and you don't think Drake May and or Mike Vrabel can handle it, then that's on you. Good
fun
point
fact.
By Keith. 617-779-7937. Yes,
I got a fun fact.
Oh, good.
Full of them. George Pickens went to Hoover High in Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the MTV show Two-A-Days?
Yeah, oh, I was going to say.
He wasn't on that.
No, I was about to. I couldn't remember the name of the show. I was about to guess it. Two-A-Days. Yeah. I wouldn't
great
have got
show.
That. I was about to say Last Chance U. I knew it wasn't that.
No.
But yeah, Two-A-Days on MTV.
It was like real-life Friday Night Lights.
What happened with that coach? Didn't something not so great happen with that
probably,
coach?
Probably.
Okay.
But Chad Jackson also went to that school.
Mm.
Marlon Humphrey went to that school.
Okay, well, that's a better player. Yeah.
I think it was that year on that show, it was a John Parker Wilson kid who I think ended up at Alabama, the quarterback. But I remember watching that show. I was like, oh, it was perfect, right in my wheelhouse. They played against Tim Tebow in high school. And like all the kids that like didn't even play football in like the cafeteria, like, are you guys
Tim
playing
Tebow?
That? Not even like they're like the quarterback, like on like whatever the school was. They're like, nice. Oh my God, like how good is that guy?
Nice.
Yeah, they were ahead of the curve on that.
Turns out pretty good. You can jump in. Randy in Providence has been waiting very patiently. All right, go ahead, Randy.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Look, I would disagree with you on Pickens, and just bear with me a moment, because I know you guys get a little quick trigger on me sometimes. But it would just be a resounding no. I think it was about trade by the Cowboys, too. I think they were basically only bidding against themselves, according to, like, NFL reporters and rumors and stuff around the league. And I think that's because that's one of the few situations where you need a wide receiver, but your coach doesn't have a whole lot of input on personnel, where Jerry Jones is making the moves, but Brian Schottenheimer, brand new coach, he doesn't have that much input. Well, you look at other situations in the league, the Chargers, the Bills, the Patriots, all need wide receivers, but their coaches have heavy input.
Yeah, so I'll blame Vrabel for not getting that. Randy being a bit of a George Pickens there, demanding how much time we give him.
Jeez.
You think the Cowboys made a bad trade?
I think it was a great trade.
Me too.
I think it was excellent.
I think it would have been worse if they gave up a third rounder this year. They kicked it down the road another year, and you get Pickens. Now, what I would blame the Cowboys for is it sounds like they didn't talk extension at all. They have, like,
no, you gotta get
no
that
idea
out.
On a contract with him.
No, you got to get a contract with
but
him.
In terms of the actual compensation they gave up, a third rounder, I think that's more than fine for George Pickens.
Yeah.
Monday afternoon here on WEEI Afternoons in our beautiful Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. It's not beautiful outside.
It is awful outside.
Kind of rainy, kind of crappy. That's why Ted doesn't come out. It's a rainy day. He's like, you know, I'm not doing it today. The flowery shirt won't get it done.
Did Ted wake up and see his shadow today?
Yeah. It's a big shadow. He was scared, so he went back under the covers and pulled him over his head. It is 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons. That means one thing. It is time for our three-point stance.
319!
318!
318!
318! Yeah, there you go!
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pastrnak, a hat trick, and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone! A three-run homer, and the game is tied!
On WEEI Afternoons.
Before I toss the mic to Dan Ball to lead us through three-point stance, we will get back to the Tristan Casas situation, and I will get to you, 781 texter, because I don't know if your ears don't work or the connection to the rest of your body doesn't work, but I don't care for the tone of your text. But we'll get back to that Dan Ball three-point stance time.
Okay, well, it is time for three-point stance today. Now I'm kind of intrigued to know what they
we'll
said
get there.
To piss you off.
I agree with the texter.
Shut it.
Today's three-point stance is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident or send an inflammatory text to Andy Hart on the text line, you got to get Glassman, and you can call all sevens to do that at 617-777-7777. As it is 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, we have two hosts and myself, each of which will present their stance on the biggest stories floating around the world of sports and sometimes beyond. Each host and me will have 60 seconds or thereabouts to present their opening stance on their story of the day, and after each is gone, we'll open up the floor for discussion on each and every one. Our order today is Andy Hart, then Nick Fitzy-Stevens, then myself, Dan Ball, with Stiz as my accompaniment, as always. Andy Hart, you will lead us off. Are you ready?
I am.
All right. Well, your 60 seconds, they begin right now.
I was going to use my time for my first experience doing hibachi on my Blackstone, but we don't have time for that today. We need to get to Joe Milton. And I know it is with great irony I say this. We need to stop talking about Joe Milton. He's part of the past. He's moved on. We need to move on. So did the Patriots want to get rid of Joe Milton, or did Joe Milton request a trade?
It doesn't matter!
Is he a good guy or a bad dude, as some is reporting? Is he a future starter or a career backup who'll never win a game again?
It doesn't matter!
He's gone. Can we just move on? The Patriots have rookie minicamp this week. They are going to go into OTAs, Fitzy. They're going to go into minicamp and training camp. And Joe Milton will do the exact same thing. Like, what we're doing around here with Bedard and others, like these reports, oh, he's a bad dude. It's like hate scrolling through your ex's social media feed.
It doesn't matter!
Hey, that one was out of line. You don't need to be doing that. Just allow for the fact that for whatever reason, it ended. It needed to end. Nothing is going to change now. You traded him for what you traded him for. He went to where he went. We'll see what his future holds. You have Drake May, but we need to stop trying to figure out why Joe Milton isn't here anymore and just accept the fact he's not here anymore. So move on. Thank you. No further questions.
I like it.
There you go.
I'm with you. I'm with you. As a power of now guy,
yeah.
That's all we have control over. The
it's
now
over.
And the future, and absolutely nothing that is firmly in our rear view.
At least until we have reason to revisit it. Like, if he goes and starts and wins 12 games for the Cowboys, we might need to revisit it. But right now, no, it's over.
I mean, they're such a great NFL sample size as a starter that he's going to go in and win 12 games for the Cowboys, you know, based on all
or,
of his...
Or start anytime soon
exactly,
as well.
Exactly.
You mean the fact that he's undefeated, never lost?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, him and Drake May, right about the same at this point. I also think it's appropriate that you pick the day when Ted is not here to bring up Joe Milton, that we shouldn't be talking about him again. So
that's true. Ted's going to bring him up tomorrow, and then we'll be right back at it.
That's right.
It doesn't matter!
It does not. And
then later on, Dan Ball, we're going to bring up mock drafts.
Yes, all seven rounds, 2026. You'll never believe.
I'm going to do my first seven-round 2026 mock draft later.
You'll never believe who Mr. Irrelevant 2026 is.
Can't
Tune
wait.
In to find out
Can't
later.
Wait.
In the meantime, Fitzy, you are up here for 3 points. Stance, are you ready?
Yeah, since it is my time and my job, it is also my honor.
All right, well, your 60 seconds. Begin right now.
Earlier today, it was announced that Julian Edelman, Patriots slot receiver, punt returner, Mr. Everything, a consummate football player, hard-o, and three-time Super Bowl champion and Super Bowl MVP, no less, was the fans' choice. He won the vote, the popular vote of the Pats people, to be the next inductee into the New England Patriots Hall of Fame. Jules will get the red jacket later on this summer or perhaps in the fall. Big ceremony and party to follow. And while no one in Patriots Nation or the NFL, the worldwide of football appreciation over, would argue that Julian Edelman is deserving of entry into the Patriots Hall of Fame, possibly even the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I, a Julian Edelman superfan and lifelong Patriots superfan, am here to tell you that the fans got it wrong and that they brought in and welcomed the wrong guy in at the they welcomed in the right guy at the wrong time. Julian Edelman certainly deserves this honor, but the first person who should have gotten entry in this year alongside Bill Parcells was Adam Vinatieri. Folks, without a couple of kicks Adam Vinatieri made, there is no dynasty, there is no six Super Bowls, there's no Tom Brady, and there wouldn't have been Julian Edelman.
Well, we'll get into this more, but there are two separate Hall of Fame related arguments for Adam Vinatieri that both came out of this year, and both are very legitimate.
I was stunned, guys. Quite honestly, like, I was legitimately stunned that Edelman beat out Vinatieri. Did everybody miss? Like, how could you miss what Adam Vinatieri did? If he doesn't make the kick in the snow, there is zero guarantee they win, let alone a couple, or possibly even a half dozen Super Bowls. It all starts with the kick in the snow, followed up by the kick in the Super Bowl, followed by another kick in a Super Bowl. Like, he deserves entry out of deference and respect to his accomplishments, first and foremost. And as much as I love Julian Edelman, for God's sakes, I mean, I anyone over the age of 30 would be hard-pressed to disagree.
It's even deeper than that, but we'll get into it after we get to our third stance here.
That's right. That's right. I'm going to quickly move away from football, and I will begin my 60 seconds. What do you think, Stiz? Right about now?
Dan, you ready?
I am ready.
All right. Your 60 seconds begin right now.
Okay. Wow, that was good, and sounds a little little annoying. Now I know how you guys feel.
It's a little passive-aggressive.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just to try to prove a point.
All right, with the argue, just get to the
like 48 seconds left.
All right.
Ted somewhere right now going like, Dan, come on. Put this horse back in the barn.
We've spent the first hour of the show talking about who could play first base for the Red Sox. I went on record. I like Coach's suggestion with Christian Campbell. I wouldn't mind Trevor Story if you're looking outside the organization. That's fine with me. There's one guy who I am not on board with it being, and I know that his contract would dictate that you should try it. I don't think the Rafael Devers experiment at first base would go well. I don't think it's worth trying, because the couple of things that come to mind that you have to have to be a good first baseman and improve from what the Red Sox had, you got to have focus, you got to have athleticism, you got to have the footwork to be able to get yourself in a position to improve throws from your other infielders. And I just don't think Rafael Devers, A, has the skill set to be able to do that, and B, is interested or willing to improve and take ground balls and do what it takes to be better as the season goes along. So as much as you'd like to try to make something out of this contract that you paid him and put him back in the infield, I think it's become pretty clear that he does not have what it takes and is not willing to do what it takes to be a good first baseman for the Red Sox. I just don't think that's an option that's worth pursuing right now. And there you go. That is what I have to offer on that particular topic. So, on the table today, Joe Milton, no longer worth being talked about. Julian Edelman is into the Patriots Hall of Fame over Adam Vinatieri. And Rafael Devers, at least to me, is not the option moving forward at first base for the Boston Red Sox.
Can we get into Edelman and Fitzy's take here?
Absolutely. You teed it up right before mine, so go ahead.
So, Fitzy stated the obvious, where Adam Vinatieri is the better player with the better career. He is, according to Bill Belichick, the greatest kicker in the history of the game. He is a Super Bowl champion, clutch kicks, and you know, numbers, anything you want to do. He's a great kicker. So if you're just using sort of the normal metrics or measurements, he should be first. My question with this is, this caught me a little bit off guard, because I thought Fitzy, when the three finalists were announced, I thought this would be a possibility, that recency bias, you people, all of that would vote Edelman.
The fantasy footballification. Yes.
All of that. And then I put out a poll for our show, as I so often do, at Jumbo Heart on Twitter, at WEEI Afternoons, and Edelman won the poll. And I was like, oh, maybe the fans really, really kind of get it. They're not going to let their emotions, recency, whatever, get caught up in it, and they'll get it right. And then I believe that same day or a day later, Tom Curran did a poll for Quickslants. Same poll. Mankins, Edelman, Vinatieri. Vinatieri won his poll. And yet the Patriots.
Really?
Yeah. And then the Patriots put out a poll, essentially. Their voting is online voting, just like our poll on Twitter, essentially.
Sure.
And I would assume, pulling from similar pools of people, my followers on Twitter, Tom Curran's Quick Slants viewers, Patriots.com users, there would be some Venn diagram overlapping in that group there. But yet, Edelman won their poll. I'm not saying anything. I'm just asking you. How did that happen, Fitzy?
Popularity contest, recency bias. It's 100%.
So why didn't the same people vote for Edelman in my poll? Why didn't they vote for Edelman in the Quickslants poll, only in the Patriots.com poll?
Tom Curran's followers, his following base is probably older and appreciates the contributions of the past and remembers life. You know how people always say, like, oh, you fans, you never watched a game before Tom Brady took a snap. And to which I always reply, like, oh, yeah? Then why don't you go reclaim the half an ass I froze off in the benches at the old stadium watching Scott Seacules lose a game in December of 1992, you jerks. We've seen a lot of football in our lives. But a lot of these people that probably voted, Andy, may have only picked up watching the Patriots halfway through the double dynastic run.
At Patriots.com?
They may have never even seen Adam Vinatieri kick for the Patriots because he left in January 2000. He was gone in February 2006.
Yeah, but at Patriots.com? See, I don't get it. Because I would think, no offense to Patriots.com, worked there for a long time, really appreciative of the time there and all the people down there and everything. You think young people are going to Patriots.com a lot to vote?
They respond via Twitter. There's a hyperlink on Twitter that would take you to Patriots.com.
Okay, so then those same people would essentially, I think, be voting in all three polls. It seems weird to me because I thought we would get here. I want to be clear. I thought we'd get here where you'd pick the wrong person. And I, like you, believe he's only the wrong person because of the time, not because of the accomplishments.
He should go in next year in the long line of talent and worthy Hall of Famers that deserve a red jacket and enshrinement at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, right next to the Pro Shop outside Gillette Stadium, where AC/DC was last night. It's a long name, but just work with me. Yeah, Edelman should be going in next year. No one is arguing that Julian Edelman isn't a great football player, a Patriot legend, three-time champ, and deserving of the red coat. Adam Vinatieri should have gone in this year, his first year of eligibility, because of how much he means to the foundation of the Patriots franchise, period, the end.
I actually think the fun debate here of the three was the two spot and the three spot. I actually think there is zero debate that Vinatieri is the top candidate. I'm with Dan Ball. This is a totally different argument. Vinatieri should be getting a gold jacket and a red jacket. Somehow he gets screwed out of both. Somehow he's not getting a single jacket. Although he doesn't mind because his arms are massive these days. So he's like, sun's out, guns out if I don't have to wear a jacket.
They probably don't fit in many coats because he's absolutely shredded, bro.
But I actually thought the debate, you can make a strong debate between Edelman and Logan Mankins. Logan Mankins essentially had the better career. Edelman was the better winner. I mean, Edelman has zero Pro Bowls and zero All Pros. Mankins is a multi-time Pro Bowler and a multi-time All Pro. Like, you can make those faces, Fitzy, but the reality is Edelman made his money in the postseason on postseason runs with Tom Brady, and that's great.
But when the lights were brightest, you know, from Edelman playing cornerback and safety in the 2011 postseason when the Patriots had a ghastly deficit of cornerbacks and secondary. He has the most punt return touchdowns in franchise history. The pass to Amendola, a Super Bowl MVP, just like Deion Branch as well. The amazing catches in 49 to spark the comeback in the fourth quarter in one of Tom Brady's greatest quarters of football ever in the Malcolm Butler Super Bowl. The catch in Super Bowl 51. I see what you're saying about Mankins, but I would have absolutely power ranked it Vinatieri, Edelman, Mankins. All three worthy, all three deserving, but I thought that would have been the 1-2-3.
Absolutely, because superficial recency bias would pick Edelman. Like, if you go a little deeper in the game of football and know what really happens, you win in the trenches, right, Stiz? You win down deep in the trenches with line play, guard play, then you'd know that Mankins was a great player. And I do also acknowledge I'm biased here. He's one of my favorite guys that ever came through that locker room. Love dealing with him. One of the truest professionals that you'll ever see at Gillette Stadium. Also,
great guy.
Also, the water gets muddy next year when Rob Gronkowski and others start to make their way onto the ballot. And all of a sudden, wait, Adam Vinatieri is going to have to wait multiple years to get into the Patriots Hall of Fame. What a joke. Yes, it is.
Let me ask you both, Fitzy and Hart, more jerseys out of the three. Mankins, Edelman, Vinatieri.
More jerseys?
Yeah.
Edelman.
By a country mile. But is that what gets you in the hall?
It's just a
It's a popularity.
No, that factors into the voting stays. And I'll also posit this as well. I think, you're right, Andy, that now once Gronk is available next year, that's a no-brainer. So Vinatieri, earliest he'll get in will be 2 years from now. Two other points I want to make. Number one, it's a shame that Vinatieri is not going in the same year as Parcells, who brought
That's
him aboard and called
it's
him a
perfect.
Real football player. They deserve to be going in hand because of how much Parcells loved and appreciated Vinatieri, giving him the opportunity to kickstart the dynasty. And also, dear Patriots, I think it's time to retire the number 11. You have two Patriot Hall of Famers now, Drew Bledsoe and Julian Edelman. I do not ever want to see somebody of Tyquan Thornton's ilk ever put on the number 11 and sully it again in a Patriots uniform.
Yeah, but you can't keep retiring numbers. There's not enough numbers to go around. That's the problem with that. And I also think football sometimes retires too many numbers. Like, this is where I get into that whole Deion comparison. You need layers to your hierarchy, and, like, you should retire Brady. You should retire Hannah, the all-time greats. Edelman doesn't reach that level.
What about Gronk? You don't think Gronk is? Gronk is an absolute, and of course, 87 was already great because of Coates.
See, that's an actual argument. Those two players are both Hall of Fame caliber players. Gronk's the GOAT. Coates is a Hall of Fame caliber player. 87, I actually think, has a stronger argument than 11 if you're going to do some sort of multiplayer retirement for a number. Yes, Dan Ball.
The argument for retiring number 11 is going to get stronger in 2025 because the Pastronaut, Josh Dobbs, is currently slated to wear number 11.
Oh, I look forward to that.
Yeah.
Look forward to that. That
not
really.
He is?
Yes, he is.
I do not want him
Drake May,
that
number 10, Josh Dobbs, number 11.
It's too bad this isn't in New York where Abdul Carter wants to wear 56 or 11, and neither Phil Simms nor Lawrence Taylor will let him, but if he was here, he could wear 11.
That's the maddest I've seen Rob Gronkowski in quite a while talking
He was no happy about that.
Yeah,
because it's ridiculous. Like, know your role, shut your hole, take a jersey, make it great, retire your number in 20 years.
Make your own number. Like, make kids want to wear 59 or 57 or 52. And also, speaking of numbers in the 50s in the New England Patriots, 54 is another one that could have like a shared or co-retirement because Brewski, pretty iconic, kind of legendary. And then Hightower stepped in and, he was super pivotal to three Super Bowls that the Patriots won as well.
So will we be adding a third digit to football player numbers when we retire all these numbers, especially if we start combining careers to earn retirement? All of a sudden, wearing 147 is Mike Smith, the new guard.
Yeah, what position group gets the early 100s?
They got the most room.
Okay.
They're a little fatter, so you can get it. If you were like Tyquan Thornton, if you had to wear a triple digit, unless it was 111.
That's a good take, Andy. I like that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
More jersey room to get the...
The first great take or good take I get from Dan Ball is about fat guys can fit more numbers on their body.
I just love the nuance that Andy Hart brings to the table.
I was today years old when I finally appreciated Dan's sarcasm towards Andy.
All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for today's three-point stance, discussing the Julian Edelman and Adam Vinatieri conversation with the Patriots Hall of Fame. And very appropriately, Andy, even with you saying Joe Milton as your three-point stance, we didn't even talk about him, so your plan is working
and
already.
We're never talking about him again here on WEEI Afternoons. Put a little asterisk on the end of that because we might need to circle back around. But up next, we're going to talk about the Celtics because we've touched on Tristan Casas, the Red Sox. We'll get back to some of that. I'll unveil my plan for first base in a little bit for the Boston Red Sox. And a reminder, we will have Megan Ottolini, 5 o'clock from the Garden to check in before game one of Knicks Celtics. New York Boston, the rivalry renewed. We're talking about that up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, give me what's trending.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Julian Edelman with Colin Cowherd on Bill Belichick, and maybe he has come to his senses, or
he flipped that quick.
Maybe the University of North Carolina will force him to get a reality check and realize that he doesn't need a 24-year-old soulmate running his
PR?
Running his life, running his PR, running his media company, whatever the
role.
Well,
she's the COO of that thing.
Yeah. So, Belichick Productions.
Yeah. This is gonna get very, very sticky. She's the COO of Belichick Productions, so she has a lot to do with, you know, what the things that he's doing. And now that you banned her allegedly banned her from the stadium and the football facilities, and Bill Belichick is he's the swinging big stick head coach. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's not just jabroni head coach that's like, all right. He's like, I don't know if this is going to stand because, listen, they need Bill more than Bill needs him. You know, that type of stuff. So
I hope he doesn't mind sleeping on the couch.
Yeah,
he's going to be out of the big bed for a while
if he agrees to what UNC wants him to do. But if he stands up and be like, Jordan, don't even worry about that. Your ass can go in the building whenever you want.
Well, he can't do that if the athletic director has banned her from the facility. I mean, he must have. Bubba must have had a conversation with Bill about it.
How many conversations do you think there were before it got to this point?
A lot.
What a final chapter in a million years.
You said earlier you think he may not ever coach a game here.
No.
Was that me? No,
that was
no,
Curtis.
I think that if he chooses to...
Don't get it twisted.
Go with the AD saying, then there could be issues in their relationship.
I think he has to. He has to go with what the AD is saying. Bill Belichick isn't going to choose to not coach after all of this.
No, he's
going
to coach, but you think he's going to listen to Bubba?
Men have done it, Courtney, through all of time, where they have chosen a woman over anything else.
That's men with no power. He's got power.
Yeah.
He's not listening to Bubba. He's like, listen, Jordan, don't listen to anything they're saying. If they say something, you call me.
You honestly think she's going back in the football facility?
I bet if this isn't true, and I told Courtney this off the air, Jordan is the type of person that she posts a picture from inside the facilities just to spite people.
Yeah.
So you think that that Bill Belichick is not going to follow this new edict?
No, I don't think so.
So then he'll be out.
No, he ain't going nowhere.
Several texters suggest that Bill is strategically using the university to break up with her.
Oh, brilliant.
He can't do it himself. Hmm? So
it's Bubba. Sorry, hon.
So
the tough Bubba. Weekend to do it
gives
for
him
her.
A convenient excuse heading into the Miss Maine competition this weekend.
Oof. Saw the writing on the wall that she was going to lose, and he's like, I got to get out of this while I still can.
Is he going to be there in Maine this week? Hello to all of our Maine listeners. Good morning and hello.
Yeah, I bet.
You think he's going to be there?
Yeah, they'll be. Yeah. Weren't they in New York together?
Yes.
Yeah, so I bet he's in Maine supporting her.
This is Dave from Natick. What's up, Dave?
Hi, just curious. Is he still rich?
Yes.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick, and is she still young and hot?
Yes.
She is.
I'm pretty confident that if this falls apart, they'll both find new soulmates pretty quickly. So I'm not so worried about that. I mean, I think once Bill gets into the North Carolina actual running the football program, I think pretty quick you'll find out that his first love in life is football, not his girlfriend. So it'll all work out.
Okay.
We'll know pretty quickly.
Yeah.
End of July is when they start fall camp.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not she's on the field and that kind
of
thing.
She'll post from inside the facility next week.
She will.
This is Jake from Boston. Hello, Jake.
Listen, as a Carolina alum, I'm irked. I can't believe they kicked Jordan out of the facility. I think that is dumb. She's a net positive in terms of the branding because we're talking about Carolina football and not Alabama. And here's the bigger problem. They could kick her out. She will still be in that facility more than Steve Belichick, who can't stop getting his wife, Jen, pregnant. Steve has five kids, all under the age of 7. I mean, how can you be a coordinator for a leading Division I program if all you're doing is parenting? And don't get me started on Steve, because this has been a problem leading back 5 or 6 years. That Tennessee playoff game, remember Brady's last game? Yeah. Remember the fact that we played Miami, we gagged on a Sunday. This was after Linda dragged Bill all around to her holiday parties the week before. So Monday, Steve's at home at 5. Then we go to the Bruins game on Thursday, and we somehow lose on Saturday night to Tennessee because, again, Steve is lazy. Bryant is lazy. Mm. She at least draws headlines and, you know, fulfills other needs for Bill. It is the coaching staff of nepotism and nepo baby losers that are Carolina's real concern. And Bubba Cunningham needs to get that through his little brain, his little ACC brain. Otherwise, Bill is going to go 5-6 and they'll miss a bowl game. But it won't be because of her. It's because he hires all his stupid kids and he's got all his stupid alums. He's got Jamie Collins. He's got Natron Means. Like, his coaching staff sucks.
Okay, Jake, thank you.
Wow. Somebody's a little mad.
He's fired up.
I didn't know that Steve Belichick had 5 kids.
He was pretty good at Washington, wasn't he, Wiggy?
Yeah, he was good at Washington.
That is
Wiggy had him as a head coach in the NFL.
That's an alum who is saying it's an actual good thing for the brand that Jordan is involved.
Yeah,
because people are talking about it.
Yeah, that's what schools want.
Do you think
want.
Duke thought the lacrosse thing was good because people were talking about it?
Yeah, that's different, though. It's not even close.
Yeah, it's legal issues.
I'm saying that people are mocking the North Carolina football team. It is a punchline literally on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, but for people down in the Carolinas, they love that they're being talked about in the ACC.
It doesn't sound like it if the AD is forcing her out of the building.
Well, like you said, Bubba Cunningham is get through his pee head. No way Bubba can't.
So you think he's doing that without hearing from people that are pissed?
Who's that, Bubba?
I'm sure that the ticket sales office for UNC football season tickets are thrilled with what's been going on.
Of course.
Because those tickets are going to sell like hotcakes this season.
Is there a chance that if she doesn't win Miss Maine this weekend, that Bill upgrades with somebody else?
No.
Like, is that?
No, not yet.
He goes and explores the Miss Universe competition, Greg?
Right? Bill likes winners.
He likes winners. I guess it depends who wins.
Well, not recently.
I bet she wins.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
Miss Maine? Mm-hmm. I thought you said she only had a few votes.
Well, that's like the fan vote.
Oh, okay, fan voting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm telling you, Bill, boy, Bubba, get it right down there. Get it right down in Carolinas.
Well, Do you think Bubba tells Bill what to do?
No.
So
I think it goes in one. If Bubba, I think Bubba's like, Bill, what do you think we should do? Because like, it is good for the university. Like, we are actually.
Bubba probably brought it up, and Bill's like, yeah, no, we'll try to keep her out of the thing. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And he's never going to. He probably hasn't even had the conversation with her.
Yeah,
like, no. He probably doesn't have the nuts to have the conversation with her.
I know what he's doing to Bubba. God damn it, Bubba. Are you really asking me about my effing relationship, Bubba? We got bigger things to worry about. Like, who's going to be our starting effing quarterback? And Bubba's like, I guess you're right, Bill. I reckon we figured that one out.
Yeah. All right. Well, interesting goings on when it comes to the relationship turmoil, if there is such a thing, between it's actually between Bill Belichick and the university, and not, I'm guessing, between Bill and Jordan.
They are now the it couple. Like, right. It was Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift.
Before. Well, this brings people together.
Yeah.
When they have a common enemy.
Yeah.
And now the common enemy of Bill and Jordan is the university that employs him.
It used to be Jay-Z and Beyonce, then Barack and Obama, then Travis and
Barack and Obama.
I love Barack and Obama.
Barack and Michelle, excuse me. Yeah. And Travis and Taylor. Now it's like Bill and Jordan.
Right. I love Tom and Brady.
All right. We should get to Courtney and to what is trending this hour.
The Christian Arcan Show. Weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Mario's Roofing. The Red Sox shut out the Rangers to take the series. Final score 5-0 from Fenway with Liam Hendricks closing this one out for 2 innings. Brian Baio had the start. He struck out 1 over his 4 2/3 innings. Here's what Liam, though, had to say about that insane Rafaela catch Greg brought up this morning from last night's Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
Yeah, that was impressive. That's one of the better ones I've ever seen. Like, he's an absolute wizard out there. It's incredible what he's able to do, the place, the balls he's able to get to. Even that one, like, the risk of going up against the wall is, like, you can kind of be fast, you can have good reads, but the ability to run into a wall like that, that's something you really can't teach.
You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store, NissanUSA.com, today.
And give Boss Man some credit. Baby Pedro looks high.
Yeah.
Baby Pedro been looking good.
Yep. The Sox now turn their attention to the Royals. They're in Kansas City with the first pitch at 7:40. Lenny DiNardo will join Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 6:40 for the MassMutual pregame show. The Celtics take on the Knicks in New York tomorrow at 3:30. But last night's NBA game, the Timberwolves tie things up with the Warriors. 117-93 was the final of that one. And in the NHL, Edmonton goes up 2 games on the Golden Knights, and the Capitals tie up their series with the Hurricanes. That was brought to you by Mario's Roofing. We won't soak you to keep you warm and dry. Homeowners choose Mario's Roofing because they're fair, honest, and provide quality services. Call Mario's Roofing today for a free estimate at 781-344-2420. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. Greg, we could also get to the annoying thing at Fenway at some point.
I was literally, you and I are like minds. I was going to ask you right now.
Yeah, so underneath, behind home plate, great seats, thanks to Odyssey. Beautiful day at Fenway. Going to games with James is the true highlight of my life. So I run down and grabbed a chicken finger basket with fries and a large Diet Coke.
What did that set you back?
26.
Okay.
And as I'm checking out, they have a kiosk, so you don't talk to anybody. You walk up, there's a line, and then there's like 3 or 4 digital screens where you put in your order. Checking out, it's highlighted at 15%. There is no button that I could find to exit it. So you get on top of the 26 is 15% gratuity.
Gratuity for whom?
I don't know. Because you literally get to you show them your receipt and they just carry, literally from Scheim to me, is the distance the chicken finger basket has. Then the Diet Coke was made an hour ago. It just seated in a long line of Diet Cokes that you grab. Like, I'm all for supporting. As someone who used to work at Fenway Park, tips a big part of your life there.
Yeah.
But it seems odd that if you're ordering from a computer and being handed something that was pre-made to tip 15% without the ability to exit the screen.
Well, did you indeed receive prompt service? Because TIP stands for To Ensure Prompt Service.
So it was not prompt. It was a disaster. I waited 15 minutes just to get to the screen, and then all these old heads don't know how to figure it out because, I don't know, baseball skews old. I don't know. People did not understand it. They couldn't figure it out. They didn't print out the receipt. They gave it to their son that was back in the seats. It was a total S show. But it seems odd to pay 15% gratuity for literally nothing.
But you got to see a great game.
Oh, great game. The Hot Tamales, the band on Jersey Street, big fan. Oh, and inside info, I went to the Twins souvenir store.
Yes.
Got my half off with my media pass as I get to the checkout. Gentleman said, I really wish you didn't talk about the 50% off this morning on the show. I hadn't said a word to him. I said, oh, sorry about that. He's like, you know who takes most advantage of this? I said,
Shaughnessy.
Ken Laird.
What? Oh, no.
Hand to God. He said to me, Ken Laird is in here all the time.
I got to go get my press pass so I can get that 50%.
Unbelievable.
Well, you should go and get yourself the Green City Connects, which they keep floating out there. Is the latest version the actual version or not?
I don't know.
They keep floating it out there, and I need to know when are they going to debut them, and when are they going to make them available for purchase? Because they are fire.
Yeah, yeah, I like that they're like terry cloth. That's the coolest part.
All right, Curtis, thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up next, the best Hill notes that have been left for us this morning.
Ooh! Yikes. Pablo Torre. Pablo Torre finds out his podcast. I saw one of the comments saying, Pablo found out, and he found out a lot about Jordan Hudson, Bill's family. I do like that they're like, I think she's really going to damage his legacy. I'm like, I think Bill has done plenty to do that on his own.
Thank you very much.
He doesn't need much help tarnishing his own legacy.
It's like watching a great wrestler at the end. You're like, he should be in the ring. Maybe get out of the ring. Maybe stop doing that. Like, we still remember all the championships that you won and those tag titles. Mm-hmm,
sure.
So he's Ric Flair.
A little bit. The last match. Like, well, man, maybe the last match should have been a while ago.
Does Ric Flair have a girlfriend 50 years his junior?
Honestly, probably. Yeah, most likely. Yeah.
Okay, so it is Ric Flair then. Okay,
perfect. May have already married her.
Yeah. The Ric Flair comp is actually pretty spot on.
Okay, good. Well, I think we stumbled on something.
Same number of titles.
So that is just, that's unbelievable. Where do you want to start? That she's banned or start with the family's concern? Where do you want to start?
The ban part is pretty funny. Actually, a friend of the show, Lucy Burge, retweeted that and said, now Belichick knows how Tom Brady felt when Alex Guerrero was banned.
It's a great point.
It is kind of like bringing in somebody that you're like, what are they doing here? Like, what are their credentials? Like, why are they a part of this? And it's funny because she was around, this CBS morning interview just absolutely blew up in their face. Because these two have been together for a while. These two have been on all over her Instagram for a while. She was at the red carpet for a while. She was literally on the field at spring practice. And it felt weird. Like, we'd kind of laugh about it and whatever. But it didn't really take off. And people weren't really concerned with Bill until that interview.
No, it went.
Right? What happened.
It crossed over. We talked about this in real time. It's like, it went from being a New England football story.
Yeah, right.
To now it's a massive national story where people are like, wait, what on earth is going on there? Is he okay?
Does he need our help?
It's a massive story.
And so her walking around on the field and all that stuff, it looks like North Carolina has stepped in and banned, which is pretty interesting because you would think.
Look at this on Twitch. We called this out in real time. Like, this is absurd, ridiculous. They should have banned her the second she started stomping around. If you're watching on twitch.tv.
Like fixing Bill's coat
or Boston
something.
WWE, she's just constantly in the middle of everything when she shouldn't even be anywhere near the field.
I think she's out there. That might be one of Ric Flair's robes she's wearing.
I was just thinking that, too.
I think he wears that to
but
the
But it's
ring.
Like anybody.
That was at Starcade 92,
I think. Defending this in real time, it was just, you're compromised. If you're defending that, that's ridiculous. That's never been done in the history of football.
Especially from this guy.
Embarrassing. That was embarrassing.
It was. But it was allowed. At least as far as we know, that was at least allowed.
They should have banned her then.
Yeah.
And now they're just reacting to the public backlash, which fine, she shouldn't be allowed to do this at football practice.
And for anybody saying,
Bill knows that.
And for anybody saying that, you know, what does Pablo Torre know? He was the first one to report that she was the de facto manager and agent for Bill, which people scoffed at. And then he himself, he being Bill Belichick, confirmed that.
Yeah.
when he in that statement, which also seems fake, like Rafael Devers' comments.
We have a personal and professional relationship. Is that what it was?
Personal and professional relationship.
Thank you. So, right.
Like, nice.
So, because
business and pleasure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like the mullet of relationships.
Business in the front, party in the back. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, if you want to question the source, Pablo Torre already has proven his chops on this story.
Yeah, yeah, no, I think he's on it.
Similar to Rich Keefe on the Bruins beat.
That's true.
At a certain point, you can kick and scream and say, what does Rich Keefe know?
It's undeniable.
At a certain point, Keefe has sources with the Bruins, and you just have to acknowledge the man has sources.
That's right.
Pablo Torre's plugged in. In fact, he had a tweet, follow-up tweet. I talked to 11 people. Eleven sources.
11 people? That's a whole starting lineup.
I talked to 11 people who dealt directly with Jordan as she took power in Bill's life. A lot is getting aggregated from the episode. We're guilty of this. We're just pulling a few clips.
We did not hear the whole thing, Pablo.
He says, just know the full episode and the full investigation is even weirder. It's worth your time. Go ahead and check it out if you want. We'll give you the highlights here. We just played you one of the clips. So she's banned from the facility. And... I wonder who banned her. Like, this is a good question.
But she's the COO of Belichick Industries.
Correct.
How could she be banned?
Who banned her? Was she banned by the AD? Does it go higher than that? Like, the chancellor at UNC, the what's the word I'm looking for? Not the board. But, you know, does it go higher up than
the
that?
Chief baseball officer?
Where it's like, not just people in athletics, in other words, but like people at the university, the president, the whomever. They look at it and they're like, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah.
We're a public university.
We kind of look like a joke.
As Pablo Torre pointed out, this is the highest paid employee in the state. My mother-in-law is paying his taxes or paying him with her taxes. So like this is like a public issue in the state. And so is it football people? Is it athletics? Is it go higher than
that? I
don't know. Is it like public pressure from the state? Like who is making the call on this? That she's banned. Like, who decided she's not allowed there? It's not Bill.
Because I thought he'd be able to do literally whatever he wanted in North Carolina. Like, they'd just be so happy to have him that they're like, yeah, go ahead, hire your kid, hire Lombardi, hire whoever you want. And you want your girlfriend around? Fine. But even they have gotten to the point where they're like, oh my God. Like, think about it. 2 months ago, was it the AD cut off the sleeves of his shirt at the press conference and was like, oh, it's a new era of Tar Heel football. And now they're like, you got to get your girlfriend out of here.
Wait. Follow-up tweet from Pablo Torre. I just saw this. He says, we also visited her mom's sex museum.
Nice. They did do the work.
They beat up. We wanted to do.
Sick brag, bro.
We wanted to do our show. Look, there.
It's a poor carpenter who blames his tools, Keith, as you've told me many times. But, you know, I blame Ken for this. We wanted to do a road show from
there. Definitely
this is on Ken. Yeah. We could have beat them to this. We could have been there. Interviewed the Harvard philosophy professor who wrote her textbook that Belichick signed. And we talked to former players, analyzed wine reviews, and watched Miss Main tape. So maybe
watch Miss Main tape.
Breaking down tape.
Hang on. One more time.
Nice.
So
what is your special skill? Is Miss Main this weekend, right?
I believe so, yeah.
I think it is.
I heard Greg talking about that today. Or Greg and Courtney and Wiggy. Yeah.
If you were in a pageant, let's say they like flipped it on its head, 2025 dude pageant, what would your skill be?
My skill?
Yeah, that's right.
I can juggle.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Good juggle.
Sick brag, bro.
Not only can I juggle, pretty good juggler, if you ask me.
That's pretty good. I think
bounce juggle? Columns?
Yeah.
Give me scarves?
Did you say condoms?
Columns.
Oh.
No, he said condoms.
He said condoms.
I said columns.
Jones juggles condoms.
I probably could.
Here's the winner, Mr. Massachusetts. The guy juggling condoms.
I never had much use for these. Tossing them around. Hey.
That'd be a blast.
I said columns.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna have to check tape on that. That sounds like a clip du jour.
Bounce juggle, columns.
Yeah.
Say it again.
I talked over it.
Bounce juggle, columns.
Yeah.
It does sound like condoms. I'm pretty sure I said columns, but in fairness, it sounds like condoms.
That's great.
So anyway, Pablo Torre doing great work. Watching Miss Main tape, visiting sex museums, talking to 11 people.
Mm-hmm.
He also says the family is digging in on Jordan. That sounds ominous. Let's dig in on her succubus past, her last relationship, what's she done to accumulate $8+ million that we know about in real estate from Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
So the family
talked to her tenants, the people family living in her place.
The family's concerned and they're digging in on Jordan Hudson.
Well, the family being concerned, good for Pablo Torre for like getting that as a fact, but wouldn't you assume? Like, Bill has three kids. He now has a girlfriend younger than all three of the, like, significantly younger mm-hmm. than his three kids.
Mm-hmm.
She's driving around a Porsche and has $8 million in holdings. Yeah, I'd be a little bit concerned.
I'd be digging in.
Yep.
So there's that. By the way, what would your the Twitch chat wants to know what your skill would be?
Star Wars trivia.
I guess. Oh, you're like
maybe like
drinking beers.
Where 90s and early 2000s NBA players played college basketball. It'd probably be my skill.
Although we shockingly weren't that great at it when we were doing a random March Madness player.
No, Nick, it was two deep cuts.
Those were two deep cuts.
He went like the third guy that never played in the league.
You got a Goldilocks zone for Keith. So that would be his skill.
No, but NBA
the two best
guys.
Players on any team.
NBA guys, where they played college. That'd be my skill.
I don't like what they're accusing me of juggling in the Twitch chat, quite frankly. I don't appreciate that. So there's that. We also have this from Pablo Torre, who, again, has broken news on Bill in the past, deep dove on this.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, the Super Bowl commercial, the Dunkin's commercial, which she forced her way into.
She did.
We had reporting on that last week.
She was great in it.
Stole the show.
Yeah. she definitely kind of did. You're like, wait, what?
Yeah, well, it stole the show, or we were just perplexed why she was even in it.
Yeah, there's that.
Apparently, that's not the only commercial Bill filmed that she tried to worm her way into.
Oh, my God.
Here's more from Pablo Torre.
What I am told by multiple people among the dozens who witnessed the shooting of this is that what happened that day on set was, quote, highly unusual. Jordan Hudson, who was at the time like a person they kind of heard about, but again, this is last summer.
Yeah.
Not quite the entity that we know now, nothing close, had arrived on set and started immediately pitching herself for a role that had not been discussed in this scripted seven-figure commercial shoot. That would also serve as, quote, the hard launch of their relationship. And she told everybody to hold on, actually, as this idea developed in her head, because what she did was she left set, came back sometime later, and she was wearing a yellow polka dot bikini.
Shut up.
And a sun hat. The crew had to figure out, what the f*** do you do now?
Oh, no.
So the premise of the ad, according to my sources, was Jordan Hudson by the pool, sunning herself in a lounge chair, trying to get Bill's attention, that kind of a thing.
Oh, she added like script idea. It wasn't just she'd be in the background of the shot we saw.
She had motivation.
Okay.
Taping for the actual commercial was done by then. And so what they did was they filmed something.
Oh my God.
That one source told me.
This is embarrassing.
May have involved a camera that may not have even been on.
Oh my God, this is so embarrassing. It's like when you give a kid a controller for a video game and you play it and you go, you're doing great.
Honestly?
Wow.
That's what I thought of too. And that doesn't even work. My five-year-old, she's like, hey, film this. And she'd be like, are you filming? She's like, let me check. Like, she wouldn't fall for the fake film thing.
No,
she's
no.
five. Now, Jordan's not much older than her, but you can, even the video game thing. My two-year-old Georgie, she's like, this isn't it.
Yeah.
Like, you can't even fool them. So they did a fake film. She comes in, she's like, I have another idea for this commercial. I'll be in a bikini poolside. They're like, that has nothing to do with this commercial.
First of all, she's like, guys, I have an idea. They're like, hey, sure.
Fine.
Whatever. We'll mull on that. Let's chew on that. They don't pick up on the idea. She goes off.
She's like, I'm just going to do it.
Puts on the outfit anyway, does it, and to appease this child, they say, let's film it. They don't even turn the camera on.
How come the red light's not on? Oh, it's a different kind of camera.
New technology.
Don't worry about it. No red light on this one.
Yeah. New technology.
Me to do it again?
Yeah, you wouldn't be familiar with it. You want another take?
No, it was perfect. That first one.
How many fake takes do you think they had to do it?
I think you just tell her, like, you nailed it. You nailed that first one. That's all we need.
But you think she would... She would do that?
Let me do it again. Let me try it again.
She's like, I don't think so, though. That's not really my good side.
I have a few more ad-libs.
I think Bill actually screwed it up.
I love how she goes into like a fake wardrobe, comes out in a bikini and a sun hat.
Yeah, where'd she even get that?
Brought it with her.
Brought it herself.
Now, part of you say, shoot or shoot.
Well,
and you're like, listen,
sure
I
does,
might not
yeah.
have this opportunity again.
Yeah.
Let me just get in. Let me bully my way into this commercial. So wait, this wasn't the Dunkin' commercial or it was?
No, it's a different commercial.
Okay, different commercial. But he said it's another seven-figure commercial.
He said it was last summer. Yeah,
I don't even know what it was.
Way before the Dunkin' commercial.
Is it Bill's Subway ad? Makes no sense to have a woman in a bikini like next to the pool. Like, there's no pool here.
They're like, man,
he's just on a bench eating a sub.
Man, this is for winter jackets. It's snowing in the commercial. What are you doing?
I mean, I'd like to see if they actually filmed it. I would like to see it, but it sounds like they didn't actually even film it. It's embarrassing. I mean, the thing is so embarrassing.
Wow. That is so much funnier than I thought it was going to be.
That was really good.
They didn't turn the camera on.
No. She's like, guys, I have an idea. It's like, we already have an idea and we're done. Like, we've already filmed the commercial with Bill, who's the only person we want in it. We don't want you in this.
Did she get paid for this? Did she?
She got paid for the Dunkin's one. Like, did they have to pay? Did they just pay her to make her go away? They're like, whatever, we'll just get, we'll give you a check.
Wait, she definitely got paid for the Dunkin' one?
She got paid for the Dunkin' one. Yeah, I thought that, well, let me double check. I thought that was part of the New York Post reporting.
Okay. I mean, she was in it, and I would assume there's a lot of money involved
there. I thought
there
was a quote in that story where it was like, it was Bill thought it was her way to, like, get a check or whatever.
Oh, right. Yeah, I think you're right.
I think was that New York Post who wrote? I forget who wrote this.
I don't think she got as much as Jeremy Strong did.
No, I don't.
He went
so
into
either.
That whole thing of coffee. Casey Affleck probably got more money. You think the fake Starbucks guys got more money? Hard to say. No, but she
the
was
fake
in it.
Starbucks. So, I'm sorry, I was reading this old New York Post story. The fake Starbucks. Yeah, probably has more money.
No, she probably probably got thrown some money for it, but. Man,
over $1.2 trillion.
She forced her way in. Bill saw it as a way for her to get paid. People said they'd never seen anything like it. Was this reporting from the New York Post on the Dunkin's commercial?
There is a lot of the quote. We haven't seen anything like this.
There were people
as of regards.
There were people on set the summer before who were like, "Oh no, we've seen something like it.
Oh, we saw it.
It was actually worse."
They should have done that. Like, actually, no, we need you a little bit to the left, a little bit more to the left, a little bit more to the left, and perfect. She's like, "Are you sure I'm in the shot?"
Yeah, you're in there. Do you think, and I know people thought it was in poor taste in real time, Keith, do you think our on-the-clock 60-second suggestions for Bill to break up with Jordan, do you think...
He sadly didn't listen.
Do you think they somehow have become more relevant a week later?
Yeah.
I think so, too.
And I have a weird feeling that another month from now they're going to be relevant, a month, 2 months from now they're going to be even more relevant as the season goes on. Fair bet.
Yep.
We have not heard the last of Jordan Hudson.
No.
In fact, this weekend, she might have a victory speech for Miss Maine.
That's a great point. She has Miss Maine this weekend, so we definitely haven't heard the last. In fact, this is a relatively quiet week.
Do you think all of this...
finishing with quite a rally.
All of this attention helps or hurts in Miss Maine?
Not talking about this.
Okay. Is this what Miss Maine's looking for, be on the map? Like, is the bigger story Jordan Hudson wins Miss Maine or Jordan Hudson does not win Miss Maine?
Ooh.
Either way, it's a story.
Yeah.
So if you're the Miss Maine voters, you're kind of like, we're kind of screwed either way.
The winner here, Maine. I think Maine's winning out.
You think?
Yeah, I think so.
But
when's the last time we ever talked about Miss Maine before
I don't
this?
Think they were going to give it to her, though, because you probably don't want a succubus as your as your winner.
It's a bad look.
I think so. That's going to be in the Wikipedia.
Last year was Molly Johnson. This year is succubus.
Succubus.
A succubus won it in 2025. Regrettable voting.
Yeah.
Is what that was.
I think so.
Let's go back to the phones here. Doug is waiting patiently on the Devers conversation. If you want to jump in on Bill and Jordan, feel free. Doug is upset, though. Go ahead, Doug.
Hey, morning, guys. I'm out on my little beach here in the Outer Cape, and I'm just trying to wrap my head around Devers. I'm outraged. It takes a lot. I'm out of my mind real quick. Who's this guy I think he is? Are you kidding me? You're an employee. Ask him a question. Would you like to play first base for us and help us win a championship? Would you like to continue what you're doing?
No, he'd rather be 500 and
he's
be happy. He was happy with last year. Mm-hmm. 81-81. I get to be the third baseman. I get to make all the errors I want. I get to hit 28 meaningless home runs. And that's what Rafael, and I make my $300 million. That's what Devers wants to do.
Yeah, just play a bad third base, you know.
On an average team.
Yeah.
And get paid well for it.
I mean 30 home runs is 30 home runs. Like, I'll take it. But it's like, all right, well, right now, this team is in trouble. They don't have a first baseman. They're asking you to play first, and you're telling them no. So, really, I get being mad or annoyed at Cora and Breslow, but your actions are now you're taking it out on your teammates.
Honestly, Devers needs a little more Jordan. You said this earlier, Keith.
Yeah.
Shoot or shoot.
Shoot or shoot.
I mean, at least she's out there and, like, trying to get stuff done.
Right.
I mean, Devers just... refusing to do everything.
She doesn't want to do
anything. She's volunteering to do stuff that wasn't even in the script.
Yeah, that's true. Above and beyond.
Above and beyond.
Doing too much. Devers not doing enough. Jordan doing too much.
Well, I don't disagree with that. Yeah. I mean, there is a happy medium somewhere in there. But Devers could use a little more a little more of that Jordan initiative, for sure.
That might be right.
617-779-7937. We'll get to the Celtics coming up. Tim Welsh, former Providence coach, going to join us at high noon, previewing Game 3 tomorrow. His thoughts on the series to this point. How do the Celtics correct? Who's most to blame for the Celtics being down 0-2? And is the series already over? I know Kendrick Perkins feels that way. We'll get to that coming up. We got Recon Review at 12:45. Mike Vrabel talking live at 1:30. Think he gets asked about Bill?
Yeah, no.
I'd toss a question in there.
Yeah.
Toss a question in about Bill. You'll hear Mike Vrabel live at 1:30 here on Jones and Keefe. And coming up next, the Friday 4-Pack right after Trending with Billy Laney.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.